Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
We may be the home of the brave here in the United States, but you have got to admire the toughness of the Ukrainian people. When Putin launched his monstrous war, everyone was saying Kyiv would fall within 48 to 72 hours, and they are still standing strong. Moving. Inspirational. Even with 150,000 of Putin's soldiers in the country, the Russians control at most about 10% of Ukraine. The Ukrainian military says they have shot down or destroyed 48 Russian airplanes and 80 helicopters, captured or destroyed 303 Russian tanks and hundreds of mechanized vehicles and cars, and have taken out two Russian naval vessels. The Ukrainians didn't sink just any ship, because the Russian warship that was told to go itself at Snake Island has been destroyed. So, it may not have done exactly what the Ukrainians wanted, but it did go down on itself. The failure of the vaunted Russian war machine to overwhelm the much smaller Ukraine has shocked the world. Russia's military problems go deep. Early in the invasion, we learned that some troops crossed the border with MREs that expired in 2002. It's never a good sign when your dinner is old enough to enlist. The Russians are also apparently low on fuel. A former foreign minister of Russia says that while Putin has dedicated billions of dollars to modernizing Russia's forces, much of that budget was stolen by oligarchs and spent on mega yachts in Cyprus. And now that his inner circle is rich, Putin can't rely on them, because maintaining a luxurious lifestyle disincentivizes top security officials from giving expert advice that might disappoint the autocrat. That's right, they're playing Russia's most popular game. Ivan, tell the oligarchs what they stand to lose.
If you make Putin mad, you could lose your life, as well as your luxurious Brühl sex boat. Sex boat, the boat for making sex. Back to you, Stefan.
Thank you, Ivan. But the biggest reason the Russian military is bogged down is the casual courage of their Ukrainian opponents. It's not just trained soldiers. Everyday Ukrainians are stepping up to defend their homeland. The Russians expected to come in and just roll over the Ukrainians in 48 to 72 hours. Easy peasy, World War III-y. But the Ukrainians have put up one heck of a fight, and things are going niet bueno for Putin. Russia has gained only limited territory while suffering substantial losses in both personnel and equipment, and evidence is mounting that the invasion has not gone to plan. Sure, unless the plan was called Operation Make the World Hate Us, Bye Bye Big Mac. The Russians They were so confident of victory that, according to one report, instead of extra ammo and rations, Russian soldiers were evidently carrying dress uniforms for their victory parade in Kyiv. Kind of jumping the gun there, guys. Now, Russian troops are running out of supplies, and they've grown desperate. Many have resorted to breaking into supermarkets and shops and raiding homes in search of food and valuables as their own supply lines have failed. Reminder, they're just 90 miles from their home bases. That's like driving from New York to Philly and turning cannibal at Trenton. They simply did not bring enough food, as you can see in this video posted to social media, which apparently shows an abandoned Russian field kitchen truck full of rations that are entirely onions and turnips, maybe some potatoes. In the back, more onions and turnips, jars of pickles, and shards of delicious broken glass.
I love the sound of breaking glass.
Putin has turned to one of the few friends he has left because, according to U.S. intelligence, Russia is seeking military equipment and aid from China. With his invasion going poorly, Putin has only one man to blame, anyone but him. Case in point, we just learned that Russian spy chiefs have been placed under house arrest. That's right, they're stuck at home with nothing to do except watch the popular Russian reality show Love is Blindfolded and Thrown into a Van. Putin has also reportedly fired generals over his invasion losses. Of course he fired them. They allowed Ukrainians to capture their greatest weapon, truck full of onions. Because their war is going embarrassingly poorly, the desperate Russians are going full monstrous, and it could get worse. It may go so far as to use chemical weapons. And how do we know Russia's considering chemical weapons? National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan explains.
They're right now accusing the United States and the Ukrainians of potentially using chemical or biological weapons, which is a tell. It's a tell that they themselves may be preparing to do so and then trying to pin the blame on someone else. That's a classic page out of the Russian playbook.
And on that page, it just says, he who smelt it, dealt it. And, sure, wisdom. In Russian, it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't rhyme in Russian. The lies keep coming because Russia is now claiming the U.S.-trained birds to deliver Ukrainian bioweapon. The U.S. and its allies are also continuing to turn up the economic pressure. On Friday, President Biden announced that the U.S. will ban imports of seafood, vodka, and diamonds. That is terrible news for our nation's sugar daddies. Trina, I know your profile said you like cold martinis, shrimp towers, and sparkling tennis bracelets, but how about a Bud Light lime, a meatball sub, and this scrunchie I found on the bus? This is a major move because in 2021, the U.S. imported 48,867 metric tons of seafood from Russia. Holy lack of mackerel! In the face of monstrous brutality by Russia to break their spirit, the Ukrainian people continue to resist and maintain their humanity. Case in point. Case in point. Ukraine just unveiled a new postage stamp based off the Russian warship Go Yourself incident. A stamp? They have a stamp that says that? Ukraine just went postal. Ukrainian Postal Service announced the stamp design after holding a public vote on social media. Ukrainians are taking the time to vote on a stamp design in the middle of a war. That is an unbelievable, unstoppable sense of civic duty.
Russia's brutal and illegal invasion of Ukraine set off a dire humanitarian crisis and united virtually the entire world in opposition. Even fast food chains are pulling their business from Russia.
Several more big-name companies announced they're ending at least part of their operations in Russia. McDonald's, Starbucks, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, KFC, Pizza Hut, and Unilever are scaling back or ending their sales of their product in Russia.
Even Pizza Hut. Putin tried to out-pizza the Hut, but he learned the hard way. In Russia, Hut out-pizzas you. And KFC, too. KFC, too. What a bummer for the Russian Colonel Sanders, or as he's known in Russia, Supreme General Dmitry Petrov of the Russian Imperial Chicken Guard. So Russia lost its Pizza Hut and KFCs, and as a form of further punishment, a Sbarro's in Red Square just opened. There are no good outcomes for anyone here, including Russia. The regime is under intense sanctions, or in the case of the Sbarro's, sanctions, and facing nearly universal global condemnation. And on top of that, they're encountering brave resistance from the Ukrainian people and their president, Volodymyr Zelensky, who said in a new interview this week that this war can only end with dialogue.
Can you make a compromise with Putin? Can you trust Putin?
Trust? Oh, no, I trust only my family.
How can you make a deal with somebody you don't trust, then?
We have to. We have to, because to stop this war, how to stop this war? Only dialogue.
What would be your message to President Vladimir Putin right now?
Right now? Right now, stop the war, begin to speak. That's it.
And what if he doesn't?
I think he will. I think he will. I think he sees that we are strong. He will.
That's really incredible. Even a guy who is being hunted by one of the world's most barbaric autocrats still believes in the power of dialogue. If even Zelensky still believes in the power of dialogue, then the rest of us should too, because he's right. That's the only way this horrific conflict can end. Reckless escalation will only make things worse, which is why irresponsible GOP politicians and pundits need to stop floating crazy ideas that would only heighten tension between nuclear powers. Like, for example, when we told you earlier this week that Donald Trump had come up with an insane idea to bomb Russia but pretend it was China that did it.
According to CBS, Trump says we should, quote, put the Chinese flag on some F-22 fighter jets and, quote, bomb the out of Russia. Now, Trump reportedly made the suggestion to top GOP donors at a retreat in New Orleans this weekend. The crowd apparently laughed when he said this, so let's just assume it was a joke.
No, let's not assume that. I mean, a lot of us assume that he was joking when he said he was going to run for president because, you know, he was a famously broke game show idiot. But Trump is always joking until he's not. That's how Trump gauges reaction, by pretending he's not serious. Remember when he was supposedly joking in 2016 that Russia should hack Hillary's emails and then they actually did it? Or when he looked one of his science advisors dead in the eye and suggested we should inject people with disinfectant to cure coronavirus and then later claimed he was joking? If that was a joke, then why did her face look like that? She looks like she just heard they opened a Sbarro in D.C. That's what Trump does. He floats crazy and sees how far he can take it. If one idea gets rejected, he just tries another one.
All right, how about this? Instead of putting the Chinese flag on the jets, we give him a fake nose and a mustache. Or we stack three jets on top of each other in a trench coat and pretend they're a businessman. Out-of-town businessman, it could work. Would that work?
Let's remember, no one seriously thought Trump would stage a coup either. And then he ended up sicking an angry mob of insurrectionists and werewolves on the Capitol. On the one hand, Biden is handling this situation very much how you'd hope and expect, soberly and with restraint. On the other hand, Trump and his supporters are just randomly pitching crazy ideas for escalating the conflict. Like Fox host Jesse Waters, who had a retired lieutenant general on his show, and started just spitballing reckless ideas for how other countries could get involved militarily.
See if you think this is a proper idea. What if we started distracting the Russians and made them a little nervous? What if we had the Japanese stir up a little trouble on their eastern flank? What if we sent some naval assets into the Black Sea? Just say, hey, you know, we're protecting Turkey, our NATO ally. What if we, you know, we scrambled a few jets in the Baltics or something, yeah. Something to make the Russians maybe think twice and take their eye off the ball a little bit.
Do you think you're in a pitch meeting for the new Steven Seagal movie?
Tell me what you have, Jesse.
Eastern flank, scrambled jets, naval assets, stirred up trouble.
That's very good, Jesse. The only problem is the budget for this film is only $45.
In what possible world does anyone think the best path forward with Vladimir Putin is to just around with him? If you have a rabid raccoon in the corner of your garage, you call animal control, but I bet you could get someone on Fox News to say, no, what you want to do is set off a bunch of firecrackers to freak it out. And then when it's all confused, you run in dressed like a giant squirrel and say, come with me if you want to live. And then when it runs out, surprised, you got a second rabid raccoon you bought on the black market, and now they have to fight. Bang, boom, problem solved. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is an unfathomable tragedy that has resulted in a dire humanitarian crisis. And what we need to do right now to help the Ukrainian people is find a path forward toward dialogue and de-escalation to end the conflict as quickly as possible. What we don't need are reckless ideas that would escalate the conflict from people who have no idea what they're talking about, like former presidents whose brains are
rusting and rotting.
We're all familiar with the alternate universe of lies and conspiracy theories Republicans have spread about the 2020 election. Trump's gang of weirdos keeps popping up to repeat those lies every chance they get. But this fringe paranoid thinking is not unique to the 2020 election, as we've discovered during Russia's horrific invasion of Ukraine. Right-wing pundits have become increasingly unhinged in their conspiracy theories about the war and Biden's response. Over the weekend, Fox host Maria Bartiromo, one of the most pro-Trump voices on TV, suggested that it was Joe Biden who saw Vladimir Putin as a partner and didn't want to confront him.
Some people have told me over the weekend that they feel that at the end of the day, this administration does not see Putin as the enemy. They see him as a partner on many issues. They see him as a partner on climate change. They see him as a partner on the Iran deal. When is this administration going to get serious in telling Vladimir Putin, we are done with partnerships? That means no Iran deal, walk away, no more renegotiating on America's behalf, no more products from Russia.
No more products. We've already banned Russian oil, vodka, diamonds, and seafood. I mean, what else is there? No more products from Russia. No more Russian ballet. No more Russian salad dressing. And no more of those little Russian dolls. Biden keeps saying he's going to ban them, but then every time you open one up, there's another one inside. When does it end, Joe? Let's just go back to this part for a minute.
Some people have told me over the weekend...
All right, that sentence right there is how you know you're about to hear some bull... First of all, you're kicking things off with some unsourced weekend gossip. But what on earth are you talking about? You think Biden sees Putin as a partner. First of all, Trump is the one who called Putin's invasion of Ukraine savvy and genius and desperately lavishes praise on Putin every chance he gets. Trump was clearly the one who saw Putin as a partner, although I'm not sure Putin felt the same way. Based on Putin's face when they were together, Putin saw Trump as a competitor who was way too easy to outsmart. Putin always had the smile of a spelling bee contestant after the other kid got a super hard word. Your word is insouciant.
Insouciant, we love insouciant, don't we, people? We love it. It's a great word. We love it because it starts with an I. We know that. Start, and then right after that comes the N, and at that point, you've basically spelled it. And isn't that enough? I feel like, can we just leave it there and get full credit?
And they can't even seem to keep their conspiracy theory straight. One day, Biden supposedly sees Putin as a partner, and then next, they claim Biden somehow orchestrated this whole thing as a way to continue accumulating power as COVID subsides.
You wonder if, looking backward many years from right now, historians will notice the remarkable coincidence in timing. Have you noticed? Here it is. At exactly the moment when the emergency powers they awarded to themselves to fight COVID started to wane, our leaders began pushing for conflict with Russia. And then, on the basis of that conflict, they assumed historic war powers. Virtually no one has paused to ask him or herself where this might be going. How long until our leaders do something similar to their domestic enemies here in the United States? How long before they accuse you of collusion or disloyalty or some other hard-to-define crime, declare you an enemy of the state, and then confiscate your bank account?
How long before they declare you an enemy of the state and confiscate your bank account? And how long until they take away your 15% friends and family discount at Ruby Tuesdays, even though your cousin worked there for an entire summer? And how long before they tell you you can't go to Ruby Tuesdays anymore, you can only go to Ruby Mondays, even though it's your constitutional right to go to Ruby's any day of the week? And how long before the waitress tells you you can't have an Oreo shake because that's something that only exists at Applebee's? And how long after you politely suggest they just put Oreos into a blender does she say, can we please not have this conversation again? And after you push past her and run to the kitchen with the Oreos you have hidden in your pocket with the full intention of making your own, are you wrestled to the ground by a teenage busboy who is way stronger than he looks? And how long before that busboy looks in your eyes and says, I worked with your cousin, he was a dickhead too? How long?
The Kremlin views Tucker Carlson's commentary as, quote, essential in its wartime messaging strategy. That is according to a leaked 12-page memo from a Russian government agency to the Russian media, obtained by Mother Jones.
TV is also using clips of Tucker Carlson on Fox News. Why would they do that?
Because he sounds like one of the Kremlin pundits on the Russian state television. In fact, they have described them as practically one of their co-hosts.
Welcome to Russian state television, your number one source for whatever we say. The top story, nothing to see here in Ukraine. For more, we turn to our newest correspondent, Tucker Carlson.
At exactly the moment when the emergency powers they awarded to themselves to fight COVID started to wane, our leaders began pushing for conflict with Russia. And then, on the basis of that conflict, they assumed historic war powers. Without even pausing, the Biden administration declared total economic war on a sovereign country.
This is the best we can do to spread our lies?
When I was young, we would hear about Tokyo Rose, the American collaborator who was making radio transmissions in Japan to demoralize American servicemen, or Lord Haw Haw, who did the same thing for the Nazis in World War II. I never thought that these people didn't believe what they were saying. They always were very clear that they believed in Nazism, they believed in the Imperial Japan strategy. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Tulsi Gabbard, I think somewhere along the line, they don't believe this, but they think that it's in their interest to say these things. For Tucker Carlson, it's pretty clear. He is MAGA world. And anything that, you know, that helps Donald Trump out, whether it means turning against the United States, collaborating with another country's propaganda machine, so long as it gets him the adoration of MAGA world, he will do it. I don't know if he really loves Vladimir Putin, but I have to clarify one thing, Joy. These people are not useful idiots. They are beyond useful idiots. Useful idiots don't know, as a term of art in the intelligence world. They don't really know what they're doing. They're just stupid. These people are almost collaborators to a certain extent. They do know what they're doing. I would call them an asset, especially Tucker Carlson.
We're morons.
Of course, the reality is that Biden has tried to delicately thread the needle between supporting Ukraine and severely punishing Russia on the one hand while resisting calls for more direct military intervention on the other. Because a direct military conflict with Russia, a nuclear power, could potentially be catastrophic, a point Biden himself made on Friday in typical Biden fashion.
We're going to continue to stand together with our allies in Europe and send an unmistakable message that we will defend every inch of NATO territory, every single inch, with a united, galvanized NATO. One movement. But look, the idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III. Okay? Let's get it straight here, guys. That old expression, don't kid a kidder.
Hey, turn the mic way up, because I'm going to do that spooky whisper thing. Yeah, jack it way up. I'm going to get in close.
And what do you mean? Are you the kidder in this situation? And who are you trying to kid? You sound like you're buying a used car at a Ford dealership in Scranton. This is a beauty. It's a 2013 Fiesta that only has 300,000 miles on it.
Hey, pal, don't think you could jerk my chain like that. Don't kid a kidder and don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, okay? Now give me the car for $5 and a handshake and we'll call it even.
Biden is right. The situation in Ukraine is a humanitarian emergency and we should do everything possible to support Ukraine and help the millions of people who are suffering. But any direct military conflict with Russia would threaten to quickly spiral out of control into a world war between nuclear powers, and no one wants that. I mean, am I the only person here who grew up terrified of nuclear war? The point is, Biden is right, which is why politicians and the media need to be extremely careful when discussing forms of escalation that sound good but would actually be extremely bad. Like, for example, a no-fly zone. If NATO and the U.S. declare a no-fly zone over Ukraine, we would then have to enforce it by shooting down Russian planes, at which point we'd be in a war with a nuclear power. And when you explain that to people, it suddenly becomes much less appealing, as CBS discovered in a new poll over the weekend.
A new CBS News poll shows 59% of Americans support a no-fly zone, though the support drops to 38% when Americans consider that it could be taken as an act of war.
That's right. Support for a no-fly zone drops by over 20 points once people actually understand what it is. I think it goes without saying that this is a very precarious moment in which reckless military escalation could lead to even more catastrophe. We need to help the millions of people who are suffering and support diplomatic paths toward an end of the conflict. Even Ukraine's president has said the only way to end the war is through dialogue. The last thing we need right now is, say, I don't know, a foreign president bragging that if he were still in office, he would threaten to use nuclear weapons. And wait, oh, God, why am I positing such an insane hypothetical? Oh, we have a Trump clip coming up, don't we? Damn it!
I would have done it a lot differently than they've done it. And that what they've done is just terrible. Back and forth between the United States. Look, Biden, every time he gets up, he says, they are a nuclear nation. He should say, we are a nuclear nation. And, you know, I rebuilt our whole nuclear arsenal. Stronger, bigger, better than ever before. It's better and it's bigger than Russia. He should say, we are a nuclear nation and we don't want war and we don't want to wipe out anything to do and we don't want to wipe out Russia. This is the way he should be talking.
First of all, don't ever feel the need to preface any of your remarks with, I would have done it a lot differently than they have done it. That's what we call in the math game a given. Everybody knows we're a nuclear nation. Is this one of those things that Trump just found out and he thinks he's the only one who knows?
You know, the U.S. is a nuclear nation. Not many people know that. Also, people don't know Lincoln was a Republican, and that's why he wore the big hat. There was a tiny nuclear missile in there ready to go at any time. The top of the hat would open up, and then it would come right. It was terrifying to see.
Finally, I don't ever want to hear any president, current or former, use the words wipe out unless they're on the TV show. In which case, go for it. That would be I would give anything to see Trump on wipe out. Russia's horrific invasion of Ukraine has created a dire humanitarian disaster, and we should be doing everything possible to support Ukraine, help the millions of people who are suffering, and find a diplomatic end to the conflict. The last thing we need are more reckless threats of escalation from morons like Trump.
New York Times interviewed a Ukrainian psychologist about the feelings of her fellow citizens. She said, anger and hate in this situation is a normal reaction and important to validate, but it is important to channel it into something useful, such as making incendiary bombs out of empty bottles.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.